Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, folks. Here's another episode about vocabulary, focusing on homophones. I did a premium series about homophones and jokes last year, and it's absolutely full of common homophones in English, with various jokes added in for good measure. I think it is the place to find out about all the homophones in English and to learn jokes for each one. teacherluke.co.uk/premium info to get access to all the premium content. You're listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk. Hello, listeners. How are you doing today? I trust that all is well in podcast land. This is the second part of a double episode about learning vocabulary with one of my friends, Fred Iango. In the last episode, if in fact you have heard the last episode, and I'm assuming that you have, so in the last episode, you heard about how Fred has been using a spelling game to discover new words, and this led to a discussion about what to do when you come across new bits of vocabulary, including how using online dictionaries can be a really good way to expand your knowledge of words, and also about how just staying curious about new words is very beneficial, and how learning one word leads you to another word, and before you know it, your vocabulary has expanded exponentially. It certainly works for Fred, whose vocabulary is really strong. At the end of the last episode, Fred and I were on the Collins Dictionary website, and we were about to do one of the word quizzes that you can find there. The one that we chose was about easily confused words, words that sound the same but are in fact different. So that's what's happening in this episode. Listen to Fred and me doing a quiz about some homophones, words which have different spelling, different meanings, and yet the same pronunciation. So there's vocabulary, pronunciation, and spelling to learn here as we go through various words. But also there are the usual tangents, little jokes, and things like that. I hope that you learn some things from listening to this and that you also have some fun while doing it. I will recap the various bits of vocabulary that you will hear during this episode. I'll recap those things on the other side of the conversation, and it's a list of at least 30 vocabulary items. So I'll go through that list at the end of the episode to make sure that you've got it. You'll see the word list on the page for this episode on my website, of course. But now I will let you rejoin my chat with Fred about learning vocabulary using online dictionaries and a word quiz about homophones.
Hello, we're talking about language.
Sit down, let's have a chat.
A bit of a chat, sir.
A bit of a chat, yes, Roger, just a bit of a chat.
What about, sir?
About English as a global language.
This is a conversation.
Yes.
I would like to talk to you.
Okay, let's talk. Let's have a quick conversation, huh? What do you think?
That's what we're going to do.
Away, baby, let's go.
We're going to have a good time. We're going to have a
conversation about language.
I actually really like this website, as I've said. I'm not sponsored by Collins, by the
Neither
way. This
I.
is like free promotion that I'm giving
We'd
to them.
We'd love to. Do you think they do ads for dictionaries?
Luke's English Podcast is sponsored by collinsdictionary.com. I don't know. I've never heard Collins sponsoring anyone. But, you know, Collins, hey, if you're listening.
Want to come up with a tagline for Collins?
What would Collins say? Trust Colin.
Yeah, trust Collins.
CollinsDictionary.com.
Collins the word.
The Phil Collins of English. He was a very successful pop star.
He was.
Yeah.
He was.
Anyway, quizzes. They have quizzes on their website. So if we have a look at the menu on CollinsDictionary.com. So we've got English grammar. English commonly confused words in English.
Do you want to do a quiz?
Yeah, I do. There are others as well. I like the... We're just doing English, and this is English vocabulary. So we've got choice of collocations, confusables. These are words that are
What's
often...
a collocation?
A collocation. These are words that always go together.
Okay.
In French, collocation is living together, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so your flatmate is your, in French...
Coloc.
Coloc.
Colocataire.
Colocataire.
Short coloc.
Okay. So in the same sense, I guess the word comes from French, but for us, collocations are words that live together.
Okay.
So for example, we'd say do business, not make business.
Exactly.
Right? So do business, is that's a collocation. Yeah. So there's collocations, there's confusables, words that, whoops.
Words who live in sin.
Words that are confused. Now, words that can confuse us.
Yeah.
In the sense that two words that are often very similar.
Okay.
Idioms and just usage, which... Okay. So what do you fancy?
A little bit of confusables.
Confusables. Okay. So, quiz. Confusables. There are five questions. So the two words are minor and minor. They're pronounced the same.
Mm-hmm.
So they are homophones, right? But the spelling is different. Minor, M-I-N-E-R. Or minor, M-I-N-O-R. Which version is correct? So there are two sentences. The first sentence is, I watched as each coal miner was brought to safety. Yeah. And I watched as each coal miner was brought to safety. But how do you spell minor in this context? By the way, what do you think about the situation? Because context is everything.
Yeah.
I watched as each coal miner was brought to safety. What's happening in this situation?
So I think the situation is that you had some miners that were locked in some location.
Trapped, I would say, probably.
Yes, trapped. Yeah. Like the guys in Chile a few years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe that inspired this situation.
It's quite possible.
This phrase.
Yeah.
So observing people that were trapped, maybe underground. What do you think? Coal would be, like the material, coal.
Fuel. That exactly. We dig from charcoal, the ground. Yeah, it's used in
so that could
fire.
Be your main clue. I think it would be coal. So
yeah, so coal miner, someone who goes underground to dig coal out for industry or for whatever. So, but how do you spell miner then? Is it M-I-N-O-R or M-I-N-E-R?
I would go with E-R because coal mine, like a mine where you dig coal, M-I-N-E, so miner. M-I-N-E-R.
That's right. You're right. It's the correct answer.
Let's find out. Oh, yes. It's green.
It's
green is the color of good.
Green is the color of success. Which is...
Dollar dollar bills, y'all.
I watched... So the other spelling of minor, M-I-N-O-R, a minor, in America, a minor is someone who is underage.
Yeah.
Someone like under the age of consent, I guess, is or just generally someone who's
21.
Under the age of 21.
Under age, I would say so. I mean, I guess it depends on the context. Under the age of whatever, you know. In most countries, it's 18. You know, other countries, it's like 21. Minor.
Okay. So, you know, the sort of thing you hear in a court case.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, he was found guilty of, whatever. Like, you know, in court cases, often in America, like the fact that the person involved is a minor it makes it more or less serious in some way.
Usually more. Either if they're the perpetrator, which is like terrible, or if they're like the victim, which is also usually terrible.
If the victim is a minor, obviously that's terrible.
Worse.
But if the perpetrator of the crime is a minor, it might mean that their sentence is lower.
Oh yeah, no, actually, yeah.
So that could be a mitigating.
But it can like I was thinking worse and kind of like can be like more sensational if you read it in the news. If a minor ends up in the news, like oh boy,
a minor found. You know, if there's a high school shooting or something, ooh, and the perpetrator was a minor, that's obviously very bad. Worse. But that's minor, meaning a young person, basically, in the eyes of the law. But also, we have other uses of minor.
You go dark on this podcast. I like that.
Well, it's just,
I'm trying to, like, restrain myself in all this, like, school shooting.
Keeping it real, man.
Columbine.
Just keeping it real.
Keeping it real.
Yeah. What else? We also have minor in music. A minor key, minor chord.
Yeah.
You know, A minor.
A minor.
D minor, the saddest of all keys.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if it's true, but it's just a little joke from the film Spinal Tap.
Oh, I never finished
it. Never seen Spinal Tap.
I know 11 and I never finished it. One day.
Yeah, you must. It's wonderful. It's a wonder. I'd like to do a podcast about that. Oh, but boy. Minor, M-I-N-O-R, so yeah. A minor chord. I mean, I could play a minor chord, but I think everyone knows. The piano's not plugged in, unfortunately. So pressing the keys on the piano will do nothing. Come on, I'm going to play a minor chord on the guitar. Examples are good. So that's a major chord.
Sorry. Ha ha ha.
Major chords, which make you feel all happy. You know. C,
hey,
D,
hey.
Everybody's happy.
Wee.
Everybody's happy. But then if you do it in minor
Hello,
keys.
Hello, everybody.
Minor chords.
Raining. It's raining.
Suddenly everyone's sad or melancholy. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's a whole, like, going on YouTube and finding minor versions of very happy songs or major versions of horror movie themes.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, Halloween really sounds fun all of a sudden. Minor, major, Bill Bailey.
Yeah, okay. So I don't know if you know Bill Bailey, but he's definitely one of my favorite comedians of all time. And he's
is he in Black Books?
He's in Black Books. Yeah. He's Manny in Black Books. Yeah. He's absolutely brilliant, and he's an absolute musical whiz. He's brilliant at everything. And what he does in his comedy is that he kind of dissects music in really funny ways. Okay, so let's just have a little listen to Bill Bailey talking about major and minor keys.
I got it.
I've always preferred the minor key, even scales, the building blocks of music. The minor scale is much more evocative, the beautiful melodic minor. The hopeful ascent, the depressing descent. Things are looking happy and joyful. No, they're not, they're depressing and bleak.
What a great voice.
The harmonic minor with that...
Things are getting joyful and... What is it? No, they're not, they're depressing and bleak. Bleak is a good word.
Oh, yeah, it is.
B-L-E-A-K. I'll let you check that one out, listeners. Collinsdictionary.com. What would Colin do? What would Colin say? Anyway, right.
That little Indian ragga at the end. It's impossible to play that without playing this.
Playing live.
Yeah. He does it all live. Yeah.
Minor key is so much more evocative.
The minor key is so much more evocative. He sometimes speaks a bit quickly, but...
Minor key is so much more evocative. The major key, too eager to please. Like me, like me, like me, like me.
Like me, like me, like me, like me. I'm the major key. Yeah, wonderful.
Back off.
Hold on, I keep pausing it just to help my listeners, but I'm going to let it play. Okay. We should go off mic so that we don't like laugh over the top of his words or something.
All right. Like me, like me, like me, like me. I'm the major key. Back off. I prefer the minor key. Some of the world's great classical music is written in the minor key, like Fiorilisa. In the major key, it doesn't work, does it?
Sounds like a Bavarian milking song. Okay, we'll stop it there, but that's minor, M-I-N-O-R, but we're talking about miners going underground to get coal. So you were right, Fred. I watched as each coal miner was brought to safety. M-I-N-E-R. Next. Ready for the next one?
Next one. Oh, that's a nice one.
So what are the two words?
Cellar or cellar.
Again, homophones, cellar or cellar. The first one is spelled C-E-L-L-A-R. The second one is spelled S-E-L-L-E-R. So you have to drag the correct answer into the box. So read the sentence for us.
The box had been stored in the blank at the family home.
So blank is where the word should go.
The box had been stored in the blank at the family store. So which
family home?
Is it the family store?
Family home.
Yeah, I said family store.
You did?
Yeah.
So I'll forgive you. It's okay.
Yes. So yeah, which seller goes in the blank?
So is it seller spelled C-E-L-L-A-R or seller spelled S-E? Oh, this is pretty easy, no?
Pretty easier.
Yeah.
Pretty easier than the previous one.
It's seller with a C.
Yeah, which is the high up in the house. Oh, no, sorry. Attic. Seller. Well, we learn every day.
We do.
We keep learning.
We live and learn. Up in the roof of the house, that's the attic. In American English, we call it the loft in British English.
The loft?
Yeah.
Oh, but the loft is something completely different in most languages, isn't it? It's like a loft. In French, a loft is like a big open, like an apartment. It's like basically one large open room.
Yeah.
A loft.
Mm-hmm.
Lofty. A loft is an attic. Okay.
Yeah.
And how do you, is cellar...
We do say attic as well, but I think it's very common for us to say the loft. Okay. So it's like, you know, you keep your old clothes up in the loft.
Is there an American word for cellar? Is it a cave?
I think they'd say cellar.
Yeah.
Basement.
Basement. Basement is American?
Yeah.
Oh,
let's basement. We need to be a bit clear, though, because often when an American will say, yeah, you know, we just had a little, you know, I play guitar in my basement, or it's just something I've been doing in my basement.
Yeah.
Often in American houses, a basement is a very comfortable place where
yes.
there's furnishings, there's carpet sometimes, it's like a sofa.
It's like an additional room in the house.
It's a nice, comfortable additional room with a sofa and stuff. Maybe some shelves where they keep things, but it's often a place that you can actually spend time and maybe watch TV and stuff. But
cellar.
The cellar. But in the UK, your cellar would probably be not a place that you could really relax. It's a place that you just keep stuff.
It's for storage.
Yeah, you keep an old bicycle in there and, you know, some smoke. Alan Partridge. Some smokeless fuel. a bag of cement gone hard. Don't know, just like very specific things you keep in your cellar.
I don't think wine's an elitist thing anymore. You can get good wine in Tesco's now. I'd love to make a genuinely popular wine programme.
Can I just shock you? I like wine. Despite what I just said earlier. At any one time, I have 9 bottles of wine in my house.
Really?
Interesting fact.
It's my weakness, I'm afraid. I've got a cellar.
So have I. There's no wine in it. Yeah, it's just a couple of bikes, some smokeless fuel, and a whole bag of cement. Gone hard.
Cellar. S-E-L-L is someone who sells.
Yeah. Buyer, seller.
Buyer and seller. Next. Okay. Steak or steak. This is a good one. S-T-A-K-E or S-T-E-A-K. Right. The only thing on the menu was steak and kidney pie. That's the only thing that was on the menu? Yeah, would you like to see the menu? There you go. That's just one thing. Steak and kidney pie. £5.
But regular size menu.
Big menu, just big letters.
With like size 72 font.
Steak and kidney pie. Would you like to see the menu? No, I think I got it. It's all right.
Thank you. You think they listed like 20 times of like starters, entree, dessert, drinks?
No, it's just...
The only drink is steak and kidney pie.
Starters, steak and kidney pie.
Yeah.
Main course, steak and kidney pie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Dessert, steak and kidney pie.
Yeah.
Side dishes, steak and kidney pie.
Appetizers.
Drinks, steak and kidney pie. Mm-hmm. Lunch menu, steak and kidney pie.
Cheese?
No.
Steak and kidney.
Cheeses, steak and kidney pie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Breakfast menu, steak and kidney pie.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Kids menu.
Kids menu, steak and kidney pie. Yeah. By the way, listeners, some people might not know what steak and kidney pie is, but it's a pie made with beef steak.
You're missing out.
And kidney, those organs that your body uses to clean...
Filter water. It's a filtering system.
You got two of them.
Yeah.
You can
survive with one.
You can survive with one.
Yeah.
Listeners, you know what we're talking about. Kidneys. And it's traditional that... in England, often you couldn't just have steak pie because the steak was too expensive. The beef was too expensive. So you had to put kidney in it too, which was a cheaper meat.
Yeah. Isn't kidneys, actually. They're common in Cameroon.
Yeah. Kidney can be good.
Yeah. I mean, they're good.
I used to find it disgusting. But when I was a kid, if my mum was like, you know, what's for dinner, mum? Steak and kidney pie. You know, I'd like eat all the steak, eat all of the pie. And leave the kidneys. Wow. And then my mum was like, eat up your kidneys or you can't watch Superman 2. That sort of thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, steak and kidney pie. Yes, it's steak because S-T-E-A-K is the food. And steak, S-T-A-K-E.
I guess I can use it in context. Like, I have a steak. To have a stake in something is to be involved in something, to have some interest in something.
A stakeholder.
Yeah, it can be a financial term. So like this is the stakes. Yeah, it's a stakeholder.
The stakes are high.
Stakes are high. Exactly.
That doesn't mean that there's beef hanging from this.
I mean, there's like some meat somewhere smoking marijuana.
Oh, the stakes are high?
Mm-hmm.
homophones are always very rich in potential for jokes.
Yeah, exactly.
You could come up with some joke about, you know, the stakes were high. Yeah. Like, you know, I went into I went into a butcher's and all the beef was really stoned. Yeah, the stakes were high. No, the joke doesn't work. The joke doesn't work because the joke has to work on many levels and that only works on one level. Yeah. So, no.
This butcher has so many ladders.
Yeah, the stakes are high. No, but it still doesn't work. Because
I think it works more and more.
In English, though, the expression, the stakes are high, means that there's a lot of risk involved and in a project.
Yeah.
And if you fail, you're going to lose a lot.
Yeah.
Whereas if you win, then you're going to win a lot. You're going to gain a lot.
This is the final of the World Cup
of sport.
The bovine World Cup.
Cow football.
Yeah, the cow football World Cup.
The butchers, no. This is the World Cup of butchers, and you join us here in Argentina.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. No. The World Cup this year is taking place in Amsterdam. The Butchers World Cup. We've got competitors from Argentina because they do cook a lot of steak. Yeah.
France.
And France. Argentina versus France, but it's taking place in Amsterdam this year, so you could say that the stakes are high this year. We're getting there slowly.
Slowly but surely.
We could work more on this joke, but
We will.
Well, unless we stop. I think it's not worth developing that joke any further. But listeners, you get the idea. Okay, listeners, I'm interrupting here because obviously it's very important that we actually do come up with a proper version of this the stakes are too high joke, right? So as you've heard, the stakes are high means that there's a great potential for losing a lot or winning a lot. Okay, so if you're gambling, betting money, and you're putting a lot of money down, like let's say you're playing a game of poker and everyone's put a lot of money in, okay, you stand a chance of winning a lot of money, but also because you've put so much money in, you could lose a lot. So the stakes are high, right? That's what that means. And obviously we've got to come up with the final version of this joke. And I knew that one existed and I've just Googled it. I cheated. I didn't come up with it myself. I've Googled it. So here we go. Are you ready for this terrible joke? Okay, this is it. This is actually from a university website from the University of Lancaster. Here's the joke. A man walks into a butcher's shop and inquires of the butcher, "Excuse me, are you a gambling man?" The butcher says yes. So the man says, "I bet you £50 that you can't reach up and touch that meat hanging on the hooks up there." Because the butcher's got meat hanging up from the ceiling. And the butcher says, "I'm not betting on that." And the man says, "But I thought you were a gambling man." The man retorts, "Yes, I am," says the butcher, "but the stakes are too high." This is actually the comment from the University of Lancaster website. They've got some commentary on this joke. So it says this: clearly the joke comes about because of the fact that the words stakes, S-T-E-A-K-S, and stakes, S-T-A-K-E-S, although they are spelled differently, are homophones. They have the same sound structure. Moreover, there is a cause and effect relationship between the two resulting versions of the last clause of the joke. Talk about dissecting the frog. The stakes are too high because the stakes are too high. And the butcher knows he can't reach them. The butcher may be a gambling man, but he is not so stupid as to bet on an outcome he knows he can't win. Fascinating stuff. Okay, let's get back to the conversation. All right.
Next.
This is the penultimate one. Do you want to read it?
Bridle or bridle? I think I know what the second bridle means, but I'm not super sure.
How do you spell the first bridle?
B-R-I-D-A-L.
Yes.
And the second one is B-R-I-D-L-E. Bridle.
Mm.
Bridle or bridle? Take the bridle to pieces to give it a really good clean. Take the bridle to pieces to give it a really good clean. Well, I know which one it is, but I'm not sure, you know, by like...
You're not sure why.
Elimination process, but I guess I don't know what the other bridle means.
So I guess what we can do for listeners is break the words down a little bit. So both words have B-R-I-D, but the first one ends A-L, and the other one ends L-E.
Yeah.
So does this help you, just the suffixes of these words, or let's say the morphemes or the ending part of the words, does this give you an idea of... which one is an adjective and which one is a noun?
Well, the first one ending in A-L is probably an adjective.
And it is. Adjective.
Yeah. Adjective.
Yeah, not adjective.
French. Because I've, you know, adjectif.
Right. Adjectif. That's what the example we were looking adjective. For. So adjective in English. Yeah. And there are the schwa sounds. Adjective. And iv isn't a schwa sound, but adjective. Okay. Anyway, so bright.
Schwa sounds.
Sorry?
Schwa sounds.
Schwa. You don't know what schwa sounds are?
No.
In the, when you look at the phonemic script, the schwa sound is represented by, looks like an upside down E. Have you ever seen that?
Yeah.
E, which is upside down.
Yeah.
And it's really important.
Like an kind of.
But the upside down E, I mean, forget, it's not E invert. Yeah, it's not like backwards. It's not saying E backwards. E, you know, it's not like, so never mind that.
It's kind of a muted sound.
It's a muted vowel sound. It's actually .
Yeah.
So in the word adjective, it's the middle vowel. So you've got,
it wouldn't be adjective. For example,
it's not adjective. Mm. It's adjective.
Adjective.
In British English.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, in American English, probably adjective.
Yeah.
But yeah,
that's different, I guess.
But schwa sounds are really important because we use them in the often in the unstressed syllables of multisyllabic words and in weak forms of little auxiliary verbs and prepositions.
Mm-hmm.
Do you use a seatbelt? So, do you? I was going to mention this earlier. Yeah. Do you? It's often reduced to j.
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah.
So d.
Yeah.
There's a schwa sound. Mm-hmm. Do you? Or it can be d you. Right. So it can be do you or d you, and it can be ju.
Yeah. Ju.
You like? Do you want a cup of tea?
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, or it can be j.
I guess it can be more j as well. Do you? Yeah.
Do you know Paul Taylor?
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah.
Do you? Mm-hmm. Or do you know Paul Taylor?
Yeah.
Do you know? And do you use?
That's the thing that happens. Yeah, basically that's what happened. Is like I think I can detect a j. Like, do you know, like. But Jews, it was so fast. It was crazy.
Yeah.
Do you use seatbelts?
Do you use seatbelts?
And it was not a lot of context either. It was just, do you seatbelts? Kind of nowhere.
Mm.
Do you seatbelts? Wow.
There's always going to be things that you don't understand
That's okay.
when you're watching films and TV. I mean, when I watch films and TV, I often don't when I'm really thinking about it, I often don't catch every single word, especially in the cinema. Sometimes I go to cinemas where the mm-hmm. sound system is not great.
Yeah.
If it's got an echoey or a poor sound mm-hmm. system, mm-hmm. and I sit in the cinema and I'm just like, I'm struggling to follow what's being said. I'm just
sometimes
like,
the sound of a movie can be terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Too loud, too low, just not mixed right.
Too many explosions. Yeah. Too much music.
Oh, we wanted to talk at one point about like movie vocabulary.
It's going to have to be another time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, it's but it's also fun because it's a lot of like kind of specialized vocabulary, which is always interesting.
Yeah,
and maybe like digging into the origins and everything.
Yeah, yeah. we can do the movie stuff. That's another podcast for another time.
One. That's another one.
But let's finish this. So bridal and bridal. So okay, bridal al is an adjective. Bridal le is a noun. And well, take the bridal to pieces. So the this is our elimination. This is using grammatical knowledge and lexical knowledge to work it out, even if you don't know the meaning. So you're kind of like cheating the test in a way. Take the bridal to pieces. So what kind of word is missing? Is the something? So it's going to be a noun.
It's going to be a noun.
So it's bridal le.
Yeah, but what is a bridal then?
I think a bridal is an item of clothing.
I thought it was like there's. Is it a thing for? I thought it was a thing for horses. Like to.
Yeah, oh, you're right. You are right. Clothing for horses. Obviously, is what I meant. So the countable noun, a bridle, is a set of straps that is put around a horse's head and mouth, so that the person riding or driving the horse can control it.
So, what does it mean to take something to pieces?
Well, if you're
going back
to the example, it says take the bridle to pieces to give it a really good clean.
Oh, like to kind of like, okay, I see. Like take it apart, like in little pieces, so you can clean all the little pieces. Okay, I see.
Yeah, exactly, because you need to clean it because it's been on a horse's head and the horse's sweat and all that stuff. So, okay, and then the other one, bridal, is the adjective that relates to
bride and weddings. Bridal? Did you say like bridal shower? Is that a thing?
No, we'd say baby shower.
Baby shower
when a girl's having a baby. But no, it's it would be a hen do or a hen party or a bachelorette party in America before the girl gets married. So a party,
the bridal bouquet.
Yes,
yeah,
bridal bouquet of flowers or the bridal suite.
Yeah.
What is bridal? I've got that collocation in my head, bridal suite. But is this bridal suite?
Bridal shower.
Oh, it was back. It was there, was it?
Bridal shower invitations.
Oh, okay.
Kaboom. I did it again.
Yeah, you did it again. 10 points to Fred. I'm still learning English as well.
Mm-hmm.
But this is interesting.
Wait, aren't you married?
I am married, but we didn't use the word bridal shower. It was because, you know, I'm British, you see, Fred. And in Britain, we'd say hen party or hen do. Mm-hmm. And maybe in America.
But maybe a bridal shower is something else.
Let's not go too far. But I need to, you know, I don't like to leave things undone.
Okay.
Let's quickly look at Wikipedia. A bridal shower is a gift-giving party.
Gift-giving.
Held for a bride-to-be in anticipation of her wedding. So, hold on. So, this is like a baby shower.
Yeah.
Because a baby shower is when people give gifts to the mother.
The mother-to-be.
Gifts for the baby. Yeah. They shower the mother and the child with gifts.
Yeah,
so a bridal shower is showering the bride with gifts. But that's not the same
showering the bride with strippers.
Well, hold on. You're referencing the male version, which is a party that the groom would have. Oh, no, yeah, or not.
I mean,
or
male strippers.
Yeah.
Or, you know, whatever.
Right.
Female strippers, even. I think there's everything for everybody out there.
But let's say the strippers for the bride-to-be, that wouldn't happen at the bridal shower, I think. That would be at the bachelorette party.
Yeah, the hen-do, as you said.
The hen-do in the United Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
A bachelorette party, I think, is normally a much more crazy party.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas a bridal shower seems to be more of something that would happen at home and
a more homely affair.
More homely affair with gifts and
wholesome
and stuff like that. Okay, right. Going back to the quiz. So bridal, yeah, the bride and the groom in a wedding. Bridal is the adjective. Bridal suite. I need to tie up that loose end as well, Fred.
Bridal suite.
Yeah. Okay. It's a name of a film, but it's.
It's a type of as you said, like room in a hotel, like a very. Like the biggest, more expensive room that's reserved for, like, I mean, not reserved. I'm sure you can book it. I don't think they care if you're married or not. But usually for, like, brides and grooms or, like, newlyweds.
I predict, and this is, we're going to end it with this, the bridal suite thing. I predict that a bridal suite would be a room, a fancy room where the bride would sleep before the wedding. She would sleep in this fancy room before the wedding, and then after that, it would be the honeymoon suite.
Oh, yeah. Makes sense. Makes more sense.
Suite here, S-U-I-T-E, meaning a room, a fancy room in a hotel, maybe with a bathroom attached to it and stuff like that.
Exactly.
Suite, not suite, S-W-E-E-T, which is, that's another homophone. Yeah. We know the word suite, like sugar is sweet. And finally...
The last confusable of the day. Oh, that's a nice one. Do you want to go ahead?
Yeah, muscles or muscles. So more homophones. Apparently homophones are confusing. So add the muscles and put the lid on. All right. So muscles, the first one is spelled M-U-S-C-L-E-S. And that is pronounced muscles. It's not pronounced muscles. Easy mistake to make.
And then
muscles, spelt M-U-S-S-E-L-S, a much more logical spelling. So muscles with M-U-S-C-L-E-S, or muscles M-U-S-S-E-L-S. So add the muscles to the add the muscles and put the lid on. What do, again, we need to think about the context of that sentence. What's the situation in that sentence, do you think?
Well, put the lid on probably refers to cooking.
Could be.
A pot,
cooking pot.
I would assume from context. Put a lid on, meaning that we're looking for something edible.
Food. Cooking a kind of food. So which one of these is food?
The second one. M-U-S-S-E-L-S.
Yes.
Muscles.
The correct answer.
Which...
Are they crustaceans?
Mollusks.
I love your vocabulary, Fred. I love the fact that you... crustaceans and mollusks. Mollusks are a kind of shellfish.
Not fish. No? Shell.
Yeah, but wait, I need to step in here.
Oh, shellfish.
Shellfish is an umbrella term for... Let's say
mollusks
and crustaceans.
Oh, that is true. That is true. Yeah, it's more like a food term, like a culinary term.
Yeah, we talk shellfish. Yes, I guess it is.
They go to a shellfish restaurant.
Yes, but hold on, you'd probably go to a seafood restaurant.
Seafood restaurant, yeah, that's the thing.
Because seafood includes fish and octopus.
I'm allergic to shellfish. People say sometimes
they do.
Yeah, which I guess they refer to crustaceans, I guess. Because it's usually shrimp that's the culprit.
It's normally the shrimp. Usually shrimp. The bad boys of the shellfish world.
Stop turning me pink!
Why does Sean Connery hate crabs? Because they're shellfish.
Oh, R.I.P. old man. R.I.P.
Yeah. Okay.
They were charismatic and weird.
Who? Sean Connery?
Yeah.
Was he weird?
He
had some views. He had some opinions. And he had some controversial opinions about how he treated his
women.
His women.
The women in his life.
Which is not cool.
Yeah. Not cool.
James Bond isn't really that cool, I think.
It's like, you know, it's like everything. Like, it evolves. It's fine. The history happened, you know. I wouldn't do it the way he did, certainly.
And I don't think it's anything to aspire to, really.
The lifestyle? No. Too dangerous. Bad for the knees, probably.
What, James Bond's lifestyle?
Yeah.
Bad for the knees?
Yeah.
And women?
And women?
And women's knees.
Yes, yes. Certainly.
Not always. Certainly. I mean, I think some of the women were happy.
I'm looking forward to No Time to Die,
the new James Bond film, which we've been waiting for since
for like what, 2 years now.
It was like about to be released just as COVID arrived.
Just as COVID,
it's like new James Bond film in the cinemas soon, and then COVID was like
Here's a theme song. Just kidding.
We've all watched that motorbike jump on YouTube lots of times.
I hope
it's going to be good.
I'm just waiting for that part in Jamaica, whatever they're doing there.
They're in Jamaica in the film?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Well, of rhythm. But the movies. We'll do movies another time.
It's another podcast for another time.
Yeah.
So that's Mussels, M-U-S-S-E-L-S, the mollusks, shellfish or seafood that we might eat. Black shells with an orange flesh inside.
Yeah.
And they're lovely to eat on the seafront in Normandy or in parts of
Belgium.
Belgium.
Associated with Belgium.
And parts of England as well. We have mussels there, the southwest of England, good mussels. Mm. Mussels and a plate of chips or fries or frites.
Yeah.
In French, the moule, right?
Is that moule. It's one of those.
It's that word, that sound again.
Moule.
Moule.
Ooh.
Ooh. Ooh.
Ooh.
Ooh. Ooh.
Moule.
Yeah.
Moule.
Exactly.
Moule.
Moula.
Young moula. Having moula.
What's moula?
Money.
Oh, yeah, moula. Yeah, moula meaning money. Okay.
So you say moula.
Moula. Moula. Oh, God, here we go again.
Moulin Rouge. Oh, wait. How do you say Moulin Rouge?
Moulin Rouge.
Oh, yeah.
In England, they'd call it the Moulin Rouge. That film.
Moulin Rouge.
The film Moulin Rouge. Yeah.
I watched it like the last holidays, Christmas holidays. It's bonkers. So fun.
Yeah?
It's like, oh my God, have I ingested ecstasy by mistake? Oh no, it's just the colors of the movie.
Well, Baz Luhrmann was going for that kind of like absinthe-inspired Paris in the 20s sort of
thing. Yeah, exactly.
Moulin, that's how we say. So, listeners, we're jumping around all over the place, but this is what you've come to expect from Luke's
Young
English.
Moulin, baby.
Moulin is a slang word for money. Here we go.
Moulin.
A couple of examples. We didn't have much moulin, but she was always good for chicken soup.
Yeah. There should be an example quoting Lil Wayne, really.
Lil Wayne, does he talk about moulin?
Young moulin, baby.
Young moulin?
Yeah.
Why is it young?
Why not?
Because it's Lil Wayne.
I guess it's old money and there's young money or new money.
Ah. Yeah. So he's talking about being rich.
I think so.
And the bling and having new money.
YMCMB, young money, cash money, baby. I think no one has ever pronounced it with such a serious tone. Young money, cash money, baby.
Is that how he says it?
No, that's how I say
that's
it.
That's how you just said it.
It shouldn't be said like that.
It's supposed to be said in
a cool way that I will not attempt.
No, me neither.
Don't do it.
Cash rules everything around me. Cream.
Get
the money. Dollar bill, yo. We just embarrassed ourselves in front of the entire world.
It's fine.
But you know, at least I am familiar with the work of the Wu-Tang Clan. Yeah.
I do stand up. I know public shame.
Yeah, I'm used to it too. It's fine. It's something that we can move beyond.
Yeah.
It's okay. So. Everything's good. It's all good.
Yeah.
All right. And then muscles, M-U-S-C-L-E-S, is the muscles on your body.
Yeah. Which are also technically edible.
Technically edible.
I mean, meat.
It is meat.
It's muscle.
I wouldn't, you know, that's not what I think when I see someone who's been to the gym.
Ooh.
Hungry for lunch suddenly.
Salt and pepper?
No. This is a zombie-related thing, Fred. I did the zombie episode recently. Listeners, a little callback to the Zombolocaust episode I did recently. But no human flesh has been consumed in the making of this podcast.
That we know of. Our score, 5 out of 5.
You're super smart, says Colin. So we got it, listeners, and you can get a little summary of all the sentences, the coal miner that was rescued, the box which was stored in the cellar.
Yeah.
The only thing on the menu was
steak and kidney pie.
Mm-hmm. Take the bridle to pieces to give it a really good clean after it got sweated on by a horse.
Yeah.
And the mussels, put the mussels in the pot and put the lid on.
Yeah. Cook them with wine. White wine. It's going to be nice.
White wine, garlic, and some herbs. Herbs with an H.
With a H.
Not a H.
H.
Unless you're Irish, because they do say A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K.
Oh.
But that's a controversial one. Some people in England get really annoyed when they hear people say H.
No, I was doing a thing.
It's oh, you were doing that on
yeah,
purpose?
Yeah.
You know so what you're doing.
Emphasize the herb.
Okay.
Herbs.
H. Herbs. In American English, it's herbs.
I know. Yeah. I make them. That's one way I always like switch. Sorry. Switch around like herbs. It's fine. Yeah.
Okay.
Also, thyme. Apparently, you don't say thyme. I've been saying thyme a lot. You say the herb.
Yeah.
The herb. You say thyme.
T-H-Y-M-E is thyme.
Thyme.
Yeah. Mm. And there's, again, lots of jokes that you could make in the kitchen. Yeah. The sort of thing I would say in the kitchen to my wife to make her laugh, and she wouldn't get the joke.
Yeah.
So she's like, have you got any thyme? I was like, well, I don't know. I've got about half an hour. You know, that sort of thing.
I think I made when I discovered it, I made a thyme joke recently. Wait, can I find it? Is it worth it? I guess we'll know in about a second.
Cooking in the kitchen, my wife says, how much time do we have? And I say, about half an hour. And then she goes, what?
Oh, make yourself a favor. Replace the word time with the word time in the lyrics of that Dirty Dancing song and enjoy the ride. It doesn't change the meaning at all.
The time
it
of...
It barely changes the meaning of the song.
So it could be a song about herbs.
I've been waiting for so long and I finally found someone who... I mean...
What's it called? I've had the time of my life?
Yeah.
And I think I'm glad I spent...
I think imagining them talking about the herb doesn't change the meaning that much. The kind of like, oh my God, I've been waiting for so long for someone to bring me the right herb in this kitchen.
This is... Okay. This is how we're going to finish the episode. I'm just going to very
quickly... On a high.
Very quickly, yeah. On a high note.
Can we sing it or are you going to be like... copyright thing.
Had the time of my life... Now
I never felt like this before.
Yes,
I swear it's the truth.
And I owe it all to you.
They've had the time of their life. Which, frankly, sometimes when you find like good quality time, you're like, this is indeed the time of my life.
The best time.
And thank you for giving it to me, you know?
Yeah, I'm putting it on this
now
pizza.
Now with passion in our eyes, there's no way we could disguise it secretly. So we take each other's hand because we seem to understand the urgency of adding time to the soup.
Come. Yeah, it's very urgency because I'm hungry.
Yeah, I'm hungry.
Very like, hungry. I've been waiting so long. Now exactly.
And then the chorus is about the time. Just remember... You are the one thing I can get enough. It's about the herb. So I'll tell you something. This could be love because I've had the time of my life.
So that's a really good soup.
I've had the time of my life and I've never felt this way before.
And I swear it's the truth. And I owe it all to you for bringing the herb with you when you
exactly.
came.
Exactly.
Well, Fred, I have had the time of my life in this episode. Thank you very much for coming back.
Thank you for having me. Let's do we didn't end up discussing WandaVision, which it's getting better. I'm looking forward to the last episode, but like we'll discuss that another time.
I've had a couple of people say to me, hey, have you talked about WandaVision or The Mandalorian on your podcast yet? So I've got like people, everyone wants to talk to me about it. I'm like struggling. Who am I going to choose? So I'm going to talk about WandaVision and The Mandalorian. I don't know if it's going to be with you, Fred, because I've got other people who...
I know. You saw me. But
we're going to have a conversation about films and film vocabulary and stuff.
Casually. That's going to be interesting.
Yeah. Okay.
But this is the last episode today. Looking forward to it. I feel it got better, the show.
What, this episode?
No, WandaVision.
Oh, WandaVision got better.
Yeah, and also this is the end of LEP. Whoops.
Yeah, I didn't tell everyone, but yeah, that's it. No more podcast stuff. I'm joking. It will continue.
Yeah, WandaVision. Like, it's got good. It intrigues me. I was on the fence, and now I'm like, I want to see what's up.
I can't go into it.
Mm-hmm.
Just can't. Don't get me started on WandaVision now.
Okay, then let's just...
We're trying to finish this episode.
Let's finish it.
I've had the time of my life.
Thank you,
Fred. And
I've had it as well.
And also, I want to say that we are all learning English. That it never stops. Even let's say native speakers of English,
yeah,
also are learning. Native speakers of English also misunderstand films when they watch them, or misunderstand song lyrics, and think that people are singing about herbs when in fact they're singing about just time that they've spent with each other.
Exactly.
And we all, you know, need to expand our English in various ways. So there we go. We're all doing the same thing.
Yes.
Okay, Fred. Nice one. Cheers, mate.
It was excellent. Excellent.
So that was Fred and me doing a word quiz about easily confused words on the Collins Dictionary website. I certainly hope that you found that useful, and perhaps you could consider checking out those word quizzes as well on the Collins Dictionary website, collinsdictionary.com. Again, they don't sponsor this podcast, but maybe they should. I mean, I've even got the perfect line for the advert, haven't I? Are you confused about which word to use? Just think, what would Collins say? And go to collinsdictionary.com. So I've even written the advertising copy for them, but no, they don't sponsor this podcast. And I should say, it's not actually Collins Dictionary, a dictionary owned by a man named Colin, like Colin apostrophe S. Collins Dictionary. No, it's not that. It's like, hello, I'm Colin. This is my dictionary. It's got loads of words in it. No, I think that Collins is actually C-O-L-L-I-N-S. Collins is a surname, like Phil Collins. In fact, here's a fun fact for you. The name for Collins Dictionary comes from William Collins, an industrialist from Glasgow, who set up a printing press in the 1820s. And in the early 1840s, he started printing illustrated dictionaries. And the rest, as they say, is history. So it's William Collins. That's the Collins Dictionary. The publishing company for Collins Dictionary is now known as HarperCollins. And in fact, they are based in Hammersmith in the W6 postcode area of London, which is where I was living when I first started my podcast. So that's why, by the way, that's why there's a W6 on my logo. I don't know if you've ever wondered what that W6 means. It's because basically that's my London postcode. So, wow, there you go. That's interesting, isn't it? In any case, you can find more of those word quizzes and things like that at collinsdictionary.com. So let me do a vocabulary recap. Okay, so just like the previous episode about the New York Times spelling bee, there are a few words that I feel I should recap at the end here. So let me just quickly go through some of those words again, just to make sure that you got them. Okay, and again, as I said before, this word list is available on the page for this episode on my website. So first we had a miner, that's M-I-N-E-R. A miner is a person who works in a coal mine, for example, or a gold mine, or any other mine, a copper mine. A mine is a like a big hole in the ground that's dug in order to extract various precious metals or substances. Okay, a mine, like a coal mine. Coal is that black rock that is used as fuel. That's M-I-N-E, a mine. I suppose, why is it called a mine? Is it because the first person who found, like, coal, he said, that coal, that's mine, you know? I don't know. Anyway, mine and a miner, right? A coal miner. Then another miner, which is a person, that's M-I-N-O-R, would be a person under a certain age. So when they're legally considered to be like a child, basically, in the eyes of the law, and especially in American law. They talk about minor, you know, crime involving minors. That's M-I-N-O-R. Then also in music, you have the minor key and the major key. So minor key here is spelt in the same way as the minor in American law. And major key, M-A-J-O-R, right? The minor key sounds a bit sadder. Like, for example, this. That's E minor and that's E major, you see. Minor keys instantly make you start crying. Everything's miserable. And then, it's not so bad in the end, right? Minor, D minor, and D major, right. Then we've got the word bleak. Bleak, B-L-E-A-K. How did that word come up in the conversation? I can't really remember, but bleak just kind of means a bit hopeless. And let's see. Like if you look outside the window on a cold January morning, things can look a bit bleak, meaning cold, empty, desolate, right? Also, a situation can be bleak. If a situation is bleak, it means it's bad and it looks like it's unlikely to get better. Right, the future looks bleak, for example. Sort of depressing, dark, generally bad. So that's bleak. Next we have the word evocative. Okay? And evocative basically means something is good or really interesting because it produces pleasant memories or produces pleasant ideas or emotions or responses in people. So certain kinds of music can be very evocative because they can elicit certain feelings from you or certain images or memories. Okay. I think that Bill Bailey said that the minor key is so much more evocative. It somehow brings forth, stronger feelings or emotions. Then we got the words seller and seller. So if we start with seller and buyer, seller is someone who sells something and buyer is someone who buys something. So that seller is S-E-L-L-E-R. The other seller is a part of a building. So it's the room below the house, which is used for storage, like a wine cellar. That's C-E-L-L-A-R. Okay. Then you've got basement, which is similar to a cellar. This is an underground floor in a house, which could be furnished. It could be a place that you could actually spend time in comfortably. And this use of the word basement is probably a bit more common in American English. But buildings in the UK have basements as well. But you'll find, something like the car park will be in the basement, something like that. Or maybe there's a gym in the basement of the office building. But a cellar is specifically a kind of a storage place, and it's usually quite dark and a bit cold and not very nice. Okay, then you've got the attic or the loft. And I mean, to be honest, in British English, both of these words are used, and it means the space at the very top of the house. You might need a ladder to climb up into the attic or the loft, and that's where you keep stuff like old photographs and old books and records and things. Then you've got stakes and stakes. So steak, spelled S-T-E-A-K, that kind of steak is obviously food. It's like a piece of meat. And steaks, S-T-A-K-E-S. Steaks could be in a, if you're gambling, the stakes could be how much you could win or how much you could lose, which is why we say the stakes are high. Steak is a complicated word. You also can say to have a stake in something, meaning to have an interest in something. For example, if you're an investor, you might have a stake in a company, meaning you've bought some shares in the company as well. And then that terrible joke, the stakes are high, right? Let me just say that joke for you. So a man walks into it. This is actually from a website that I can't remember the website address. But anyway, a man walks into a butcher's shop and inquires of the butcher, "Are you a gambling man?" The butcher says, "Yes." So the man says, "I bet you £50 that you can't reach up and touch that meat hanging on the hooks up there." So in a butcher's shop, often there is meat hanging on hooks from the ceiling. "I bet you can't reach up and touch that meat without using a ladder." And the butcher says, "Well, I'm not betting on that." And the man says, "But I thought you were a gambling man." "I thought you were a gambling man," the man retorts. "Yes, I am," says the butcher, "but the stakes are too high." Okay, terrible stuff. Moving swiftly on, we have the word bridle. Okay, and bridal. So bridal, B-R-I-D-A-L, is the adjective relating to bride. Like in a wedding, you have the bride and the groom. The bride is the woman getting married, so it might be the bridal suite. We assumed would be a room in a hotel for maybe a woman who's about to be married. Bridal, the other one, is B-R-I-D-L-E, and these are the leather straps that go around the head of a horse that are attached to help control the horse. So bridal, B-R-I-D-A-L, is relates to the bride and groom, and bridal, B-R-I-D-L-E, is a thing on a horse. Okay, baby shower. A baby shower is a party which is organized in order for friends, usually friends of the, maybe the husband and wife, I mean, husband and wife, not necessarily married, friends of the father and mother-to-be, visit and give gifts, basically. It's a baby shower before the birth. It might be before the birth or just after the birth. Anyway, it's friends come around and give gifts, either gifts for the parents or gifts for the child. Then you've got a hen do or a hen party or a bachelorette party. So a hen do or hen party, this is when a girl is going to get married and she has a big party beforehand. And it, in England, it often will involve going drinking and crazy things happening. A bachelorette party is exactly the same thing, but in America, right? And then a bridal shower is similar to a baby shower, except that it's when a woman is getting married and her friends come round and offer her gifts. Okay. Then we've got muscles, the food that you eat, and muscles, the things you have on your body. So muscles, M-U-S-S-E-L-S. These are shellfish that you can eat. Shellfish, right? Black shells with an orange flesh in the middle. Mussels, yum, 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 very delicious and tasty. And then mussels are things you have on your body. And when you go to the gym and you lift weights and things, you are developing your muscles. M-U-S-C-L-E-S. Then we've got mollusks, a lovely, very specific word that Fred came up with. His vocabulary is very impressive. So mollusks. Oh, God. I can't quite remember what mollusks are. Let me see what Colin says. He says, advertising Colin again. Mollusk. A mollusk is an animal such as a snail, clam, or octopus, which has a soft body. Many types of mollusk have hard shells to protect them. Okay, so I suppose that means a mussel is a kind of mollusk. Then we've got shellfish. This is an umbrella term that includes mollusks and crustaceans that we eat. Okay, crustaceans, that includes, you know, crabs, lobsters, stuff like that. So that's shellfish, mollusks and crustaceans. And then seafood is an even bigger umbrella term. And this just includes all the stuff from the sea that we eat, including fish, octopus, squid, crab, lobster, shellfish, mollusks, right? Then we've got the word moolah, which is for me a bit of a sort of a Cockney slang word. You know, do you know what I mean? Come and give me the moolah. It's a slang word meaning cash. Then we've got the word herbs. Okay, herbs, pronounced herbs in British English and pronounced herbs in American English. A herb is a plant whose leaves are used in cooking to add flavour to food or as medicine. So herbs like, you know, oregano, basil. Thyme is another herb. So, but thyme, the herb, is spelt T-H-Y-M-E. Which sounds exactly like time, you know, the thing that just keeps happening. It keeps moving forwards. It's, you know, it's 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, right? Time. So time and time, ha ha ha, they sound the same, which makes the lyrics of that song from Dirty Dancing, I Had the Time of My Life, sort of have a slightly different meaning when you think that he might be singing about herbs. Okay, so that was a little roundup of the vocab. You also heard us briefly at the end there talking about WandaVision. WandaVision is a newish TV series by Marvel Studios. We also mentioned The Mandalorian, which is a Star Wars TV series. And I really must talk about all this new pop culture stuff at some point on the podcast. I know that there are some people out there who would like me to talk about these things. There's new Star Wars TV stuff, new Marvel TV stuff, like, for example, Falcon and the Winter Soldier, which I've also been watching. And even, like, Zack Snyder's Justice League, which I did see. So lots of sort of films and TV stuff to talk about, but it's all going to have to wait, I'm afraid. There are so many things to talk about and do on this podcast, and I have so many episodes in the pipeline at the moment. But there are only so many hours in the day. Also, as I've just mentioned, I have a big backlog of episodes in the pipeline. So I'll have to publish all of those before I can think about new stuff. In any case, I hope that you have enjoyed this episode, this couple of episodes with Fred. And, you know, as ever, please do leave your comments in the comments section. It would always, it's always nice to hear from you. And, yeah, all right. Have a lovely day, morning, afternoon, evening, or night. And thank you again for listening to this episode of Luke's English Podcast. I'll speak to you soon. But for now, it's time to say goodbye. Bye, 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 bye. Thanks for listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
If you enjoyed this episode of Luke's English Podcast, consider signing up for Luke's English Podcast Premium. You'll get regular premium episodes with stories, vocabulary, grammar, and pronunciation teaching from me, and the usual moments of humour and fun. Plus, with your subscription, you will be directly supporting my work and making this whole podcast project possible. For more information about Luke's English Podcast Premium, go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium info.